You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
After more than a decade in the making, the documentary film Yinta, the Wet'suwet'en word meaning land, is making the rounds at film festivals all over the world. Just in the past month, it has aired on CBC's Gem, as well as Netflix in the UK, the US, and Canada, qualifying it for a potential Oscar nomination. Yinta follows Wet'suwet'en member Frida Hewson and Ginnadam clan spokesperson Molly Wickham, also known as Slato, as their nation reoccupies and protects their ancestral lands from the Canadian government and several of the largest fossil fuel companies on Earth, as they constructed the multi-billion dollar Coastal GasLink pipeline to feed Shell Canada's LNG Canada export facility in Kitimat, BC. Jennifer Wickham is a Wet'suwet'en member of the Ginnadam clan, an educator, co-director, and producer of this award-winning documentary, and today we get to speak with her about how the film is being received by Canadian, international, and local audiences, and what comes next in the fight to protect the Wet'suwet'en Yinta. Stay tuned. You're listening to CICK News, 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio.
This is a proposed corridor for multiple pipeline projects.
You're crossing our territory on two ends of your pipeline. Who gave you permission?
Pipelines break. Break of the pipelines would destroy the water and everything in it.
They gotta come to us first.
Started as a dispute over a natural gas pipeline has erupted into protests.
In solidarity with Wet'suwet'en land defenders.
This is an immediate evacuation order for all Coastal GasLink employees.
You guys are gonna block the road.
Probably thinking I'm getting too old for this shit.
Reconciliation is a journey, and there are going to be difficult moments on that journey. But the fact remains, the barricades must come down.
That was the trailer to the new CBC and Netflix documentary Yinta, filmed right here on Wet'suwet'en territory in Northwest BC. Co-directors Michael Tortolano, Brenda Mitchell, and Jennifer Wickham spent 10 years documenting this groundbreaking story. And today I'm joined by one of those directors, Jen Wickham.
Hadi, Sai, Jennifer Wickham, Sydney, Ginnadam, Den, Hasley, Wet'suwet'en, Isden. My name's Jennifer Wickham. I belong to Kesia, which is the grizzly bear house of the Ginnadam clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. I am co-director and producer of Yinta, as well as the media coordinator for Ginnadam Checkpoint. And I'm coming in from Kesia Yinta, also known as Smithers, BC.
Great, Jen. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. You've had quite the eventful last number of months with the release of Yinta, full-length documentary, taking a look at the decade-long resistance of the Wet'suwet'en clans against the CGL pipeline, an LNG pipeline that is now feeding gas to the LNG facility in Kitimat. And we will be talking about that later on. They've just commenced flaring. But this story goes back a long way. This is not something that just happened in one singular moment. This was years in the making, and you and others documented this over the last decade or so. Tell us a little bit about the film, and also what have you been up to touring the film around to all these film festivals across the continent?
Yeah, so I mean, just a little bit about the film. I think one of the things that made this film so successful and is a note of interest is the way that we made the film. So there's three clans and house groups that are mainly represented in the film. So the two protagonists, Slato Molly Wickham and Halifka Frida Hewson. Slato is from Cassia and Halifka is from Unistoten. And then there's also Lhkhamasiu that's represented. And so all throughout the process of making the film, from, you know, the 18-hour string outs and the rough cut, fine cut, and then the picture lock final version was all brought to the house groups. And, you know, they reviewed the footage, gave feedback and direction. We have three directors. It's myself, Keltai, Brenda Michelle, and our director of photography was also co-director Michael Toledano, who shot a lot of the footage that you see in the film. We had over 1,200 hours of footage that spanned over a decade. And so, you know, it was really important to us to get the story right. This is a historical document for our community. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, the people that are represented had a say in how they were represented and what was an important part of the story to tell to the world. I think that, you know, myself not having any previous experience in the film industry was actually a benefit to the process. Because, you know, historically there's been issues of misrepresentation when it comes to Indigenous stories being told by non-Indigenous filmmakers. And so we're really proud of the process that we used. And then we had a final screening for all clans to come and see the film. And we just had the most amazing feedback from all of our Denise and Sakaze that attended. We had representation from all five clans of the nation. And yeah, it's been an overwhelmingly positive response from, you know, our global premiere, which was at True False in Missouri, our national premiere at Hot Docs in Toronto. We won the Audience Choice Award. And since then, it's just been, yeah, overwhelmingly positive from festivals and community screenings. Folks have been requesting community screenings kind of nonstop. It's really amazing, like what the responses have been from communities. So there's an email on the Yinta Film website, yintafilm.com. And at the bottom of the page is a distribution email. So folks have been making requests to screen in communities. We've been doing our best to have somebody from the film team, you know, even if we're attending virtually for a Q&A, We've been really doing our best to accommodate all of the requests, and we're still also on the film festival circuit. We're attending IDFA in Amsterdam next month. The film was just screening in Berlin. You know, we have other film festivals well into 2025 that want to host Yinta. It's also currently on Netflix in so-called Canada, the US, the UK, and Ireland. We've been getting a lot of really beautiful messages from folks that have been watching the film on Netflix in those different places. And yeah, it's just been kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah, sounds amazing, Jen. It seems that, I'm hearing very, very similar responses to this film in the wider world, of course. But this has kind of seems like there's two different audiences. And one is, you know, based here in the Northwest, within Wet'suwet'en territory and communities, Smithers, Terrace, you know, Kitimat, Prince Rupert, where a lot of this is a lot more real because we still obviously are seeing some of these conflicts on the land. You know, we're seeing a more discussion about expanding, you know, pipeline construction. Currently, there's one proposed Prince Rupert gas transmission that would go through Gitxsan territory on its way to Nisga territory, where the Nisga government is looking to build their own LNG facility up there and build their own LNG pipeline. So currently, this is, you know, still very fresh for a lot of people here, but it also has, you know, a wider context to outside of here where people may not be familiar with Northwest BC, with nations like the Wet'suwet'en, like the Gitxsan, but it also has this context of, you know, this is what's happening in Canada in 2024 and the years leading up to it, where we are seeing, you know, government initiation of removing Indigenous people from the land, you know, all this type of stuff, militarization out on the territory. A lot of people outside of here wouldn't necessarily associate that with Canada. Never mind here in our own country, but definitely, you know, off in the US and the UK and in Europe, a lot of people don't really recognize this. So what's the reaction from, you know, outside of here in that context? What has been the reaction that you've come up to?
I think there's a lot of shock and disbelief, both within, like locally as well as internationally. I think it's not just folks like from Europe, for example, that weren't aware of the state's actions against Indigenous people, but also people that are within so-called Canada, because I think that the state has done a really good job of, you know, feeding the public this rhetoric of reconciliation while at the same time holding Indigenous people at gunpoint. And one of the things that we felt was really important was like laying out the history of Wet'suwet'en and Gitxsan in our fight for sovereignty and upholding our traditional laws. So, you know, we have archival footage from a film that was made during the Delgamuukw and Gitxsan court case called On Indian Land that you see in Yinta. And, you know, the news coverage that happened in 1997 when the Wet'suwet'en and Gitxsan won that case at the Supreme Court of Canada level. And, you know, it's really apparent that none of that was considered when the Coastal GasLink pipeline was proposed and got their injunction against Freda and Warner back in 2018. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion for folks around how something like this can happen, given the history of the Wet'suwet'en and the Gitxsan. And, you know, like We're currently working on an impact campaign where we're going to be taking the film to other front lines and Indigenous communities and really focusing on not just what happened with the Wet'suwet'en Nation, but what's happening on the local level in those communities. So for Gitxaan territory, there's like an obvious parallel. We have, you know, a shared history and a shared fight currently. But we're also going to be looking at other things that are happening in other communities, you know, communities that are facing mining or, you know, their fishing rights are being challenged or, you know, people trying to maintain their traditional foods like the Moose Moratorium out east in Anishinaabe territory. We're really hoping to build those relationships and make those connections to see how we can support each other in upholding our sovereignty. You know, there's so many places within so-called Canada that are not governed by treaty and, you know, where people never gave up their rights and title. So regardless of some kind of a court outcome for these other communities, you know, we want to look at how we can support each other and using the film as a catalyst for those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Jen, maybe you can tell us two things. One, what comes next? You mentioned this impact campaign. Obviously, this is on Netflix, so people can access it there. But it's also a Oscar qualified contender, so meaning that now that it's on Netflix, it can be nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary, and it also is still continuing on to go to all these festivals. So what comes next with the Yinta film?
Well, it's yeah, like you said, it's Netflix did the work to have it qualified for an Oscar nomination. So now there's going to be and has been screenings for Oscar voters within the documentary category. And, you know, we've been on a couple of Oscar nominated lists, like prediction lists. So it's pretty exciting. I think, you know, I've personally gotten a lot of messages from folks that have watched the film on Netflix, and you know, we're encouraging folks to host like watch parties and to rate the film on Netflix. I think that this is just such an amazing opportunity for people to have access to this story. It's this version, so there's different versions of the film. CBC is still playing Yinta on their streaming platform, Gem, and that's an 88-minute version of the film. So it had to be significantly cut to fit within television from the 125-minute version that was playing festivals and theaters. And then the Netflix version is 110 minutes. And that is considered a Netflix original, which is the first Indigenous Netflix original in the history of Netflix. So that's super exciting. And I think that there just seems to be more of an openness and an appetite for films that are really authentic in telling the history of Indigenous people. There are a lot of films, like currently there's a film right now playing at the Roy in Smithers that focuses on residential schools. And there just seems to be like a lot more Indigenous made films and documentaries that are coming out. And it's just so beautiful to see. Obviously, I would be very, very excited if we got a nomination for the Oscars. Whether or not we win, I think it's just really would be such a testament to all of our ancestors that have fought so hard, you know, all throughout our history to maintain and uphold Anak No Ten, which is Wet'suwet'en law. You know, we've survived so much violence and through colonization, and, you know, our ancestors never gave up. They continued all throughout the potlatch ban to hold our feasts and practice our governance. That has never been extinguished. And I think that that's a really important story to tell. And we are continuing to do that presently with all of the, you know, assertion of jurisdiction, including against pipelines. You know, we've had multiple feasts over the years where all clans have banned all pipelines from our Yinta. And I think that that's such a strong story, and it's, you know, it's been ongoing, not just for the last 10 years that have been filmed, but it's been generations and generations of Wet'suwet'en leadership, our Dineze and Sakwese, upholding our law and continuing to fight.
Yeah, Jen, I just wanted to end on that note. Obviously, this is a very important story for the times that we're in. But I want to ask, where does the fight go from here? At the end of Yinta, there's a, you know, postscript mentioning that the resistance, the Wet'suwet'en resistance, continues. But as I mentioned at the beginning of this, you know, the pipeline, the CGL pipeline, was completed. It's hooked up to the facility. They're currently in the process of getting the facility up and running to ship out, you know, LNG. There's still another proposed pipeline in this region. You know, where does the fight go from here, knowing that, you know, this pipeline did end up in the ground, but it sounds like you guys are still trying to resist even more development down the line. So where's the fight go from here?
So the fight has always been for our sovereignty. And we know that we have been upholding on our end. And so I think that, you know, we will continue to do that no matter what, whether or not this pipeline has finished construction and there's flares happening in Kitimat. I think, you know, we continue to uphold Anak No Ten, and, you know, we continue to build relationships with other nations. That's never going to stop. We are currently still battling in the colonial court system. Slato, Corey Jocko, and Shaylin Sampson are still going through the process of trial. The next trial dates are November 4th to 8th, and December dates are 9th to 14th. Of this year, you know, currently we're going through an abusive process application against the RCMP. The infringement and the violation of our charter and human rights that were violated during Coyote Camp, during their arrests and their detention. So that's ongoing. The Hale from Lhkhamasiu is also going to be appealing his guilty verdict. He recently finished his 60 days of house arrest. So there's going to be a lot more on the legal front. But I think what's most important to us is that we continue to assert our sovereignty in any and all ways that we can. And of course, supporting our ancient allies in their upcoming battle.
Okay. Jen Wickham, co-director and producer of the film Yinta, now out on Netflix as well. Thanks so much for joining us on CACK, and we'll be sure to stay on top of any developments that come along.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
Learn more about CICK. Visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.